everybody. Welcome to the Stepping Off Now podcast. I'm Kendra. I know you all have heard me say before that it's important that we're our own biggest fan. And I thought that would be a good topic to discuss. I don't think I've ever specifically covered it, and I am personally in need of a pep talk today, and maybe you are too. When you are a struggling creative or artist, and in the context of this discussion today, I'm going to present being an artist, being a creative, as a continuous struggle. That's not necessarily how I view it, or at least not all the time, but there are periods that you go through as a creative when that's certainly what it feels like. I often think about the creative life as a kind of journey through varied terrain. And these are the periods when you've encountered a particularly difficult place. Maybe it's a valley full of rubble that you have to pick your way through, or it's a very dark forest. Or maybe it's an ocean and you're stuck in the doldrums. During these times, it can feel like this is always what the creative life feels like and always will. Because as much as we struggle to live in the moment as human beings, we do get caught up in our emotions when we're having them, and they become all-consuming to the point where that's really how it feels it's always going to be. When we fall in love, you know, it's hard to imagine that we'll ever feel any differently, right? Those of you who struggle with depression know that when you're in a low period, you look forward down through the years of your life, and that's the only thing you can see, is feeling that way forever and ever until the end. These are the times when it really is necessary to be your own biggest fan. And the reason is because only you have the capacity to get yourself through those periods of struggle. Even if they're not as significant as what I've been describing, even if they're just the struggle of making yourself sit down to work regularly, or minor blocks that you're dealing with. As much as we wish that someone would tell us what to do, and as much as we even expect that in some part of our hearts, because that's what school is, so that's what we learned coming up, that there's going to be someone with authority who's going to tell us what to do. And that gives us comfort. But in the life of the creative, there truly is no such person. There is no such entity. Not even God can come to our rescue if we have a belief, a faith. Because creativity emerges from us, from inside us. Even if we feel that creativity is something that exists outside of ourselves, an energy we're tapping into, even when we feel like our projects kind of already exist in full form, and we're chipping away at the stone to reveal them little by little. Even if that's how we view our creative work, still, we are the only ones who can save ourselves from the doldrums, from the darkness. Because ultimately, no one can tell us the things we really want to know, right? We want to know if our work is any good. We want to know if we're going to get published. We want to know if we're ever going to make a living off our art. All these questions we have, no one can tell us the answers. Not really. And if you're thinking, well, other people can tell you your work is good, sure, they can say that. But we know in our hearts that judgments of artistic work are subjective, and a judgment that our work is fantastic ultimately is just another person's opinion. And we can't put too much stock in other people's opinions, because then we have to listen to the bad ones too. We are the ones who have to love our work the most. We are the ones who have to fall in love with our own work, because that's the one opinion that actually means something. Now, we struggle with being our own biggest fan because of that very fact. We tend to put the least amount of belief in our own opinions and instead turn to others to tell us what we are. We objectify ourselves in this way through other people's eyes. And that somehow feels more real. The opinion of others. And in some part, we're biologically wired to do this. This is part of community, strength and community. It's important that other people approve of us. But again, when it comes to being a creative, when it comes to being an artist, if all the other people approve of you and like you, it probably means you're not truly tapping into your full potential. At the very least, creative work will be met with incomprehension, if not outright dislike. Not by everyone, but by some people. And if it doesn't, that means it's not pushing those boundaries. It's not poking at that status quo. And it also probably means that you're basing your creative work on fulfilling other people's needs and what you think other people might like. And the truth of it is that even when you do that, you're still going to have people who just don't like your work, don't like you, don't like what you're doing, don't like what you stand for. But then you'll kind of be doubly screwed, right? Because you've been trying to get other people to like you through your work and approve of you, and they still don't. So in order to become our own biggest fan, we have to struggle through our natural desires around looking outward for proof of existence, for approval, in order to feel like we're on the right path. But the life of a creative, or the life of anyone who is going their own way, going against the status quo, there is no person who can tell you that you're on the right path and that you're doing things the right way, because it's your own path. You're not going to find any signposts, not really. This is what can lead to those dark times in the life of a creative, when you question everything, not only about your life path, but about your work. To illustrate what this can look like, I'm sure we've all experienced doubts and struggles around life choices along the way, so I'm going to tell you about what it looks like when you question your creative work. I have these moments in the revision of my novel where I suddenly feel like I need to rewrite the whole thing significantly in order to include an element that would make it much more, well, I imagine would make it possibly more saleable. Basically kind of turning it into a murder mystery, a literary murder mystery, but I imagine that maybe that would be more hooky, that's what agents would want to see, that's what editors would want to buy. But all along, the novel has not been about a murder. It's just not. It's about quieter things. It's about a literal existential crisis. It's about female friendship. It's about women's sexual journeys. It's about the changing face of feminism over the decades. And those are the things that inspire me and make me want to write. Those are the things that get me excited about my novel. And yet still, I have these crisis points in the life of my revisions of this novel where I think I need to make these huge changes, basically change what the novel is about in order for other people to like it more. And because there are no signposts, there is no one to tell me, yes, you should do that. That's the right decision. Or no, that's not how the novel came out. That's not part of your vision for it, not your true vision. I try to discern the quote, right answer through other means, through thinking it through. That's what I always fall back on when I'm confused. And it never works, because you can't think your way out of a creative problem. This is the exact moment when being your own biggest fan comes in handy, when you're in the depths of confusion about your path forward. And this applies to all circumstances in life, not just creative choices, of course. But first must come the acknowledgement that there isn't actually an answer. There isn't actually any kind of knowledge or map or wisdom that is going to get you out of this tangled mess. The only thing that can do it is an abiding faith in yourself that you will make good decisions. And part of that, part of making good decisions, is this acknowledgement that only you can make them and no one else can tell you what is or is not a good decision. Because you're not going to be able to make the good decision until you accept that. And here's the reason why. It's because often the good decision is one you can stick to. I make a decision about what I want to do with my novel, put that murder in or not, and I think you all can tell which decision feels like the right one to me, which I want to point out might be the wrong one in terms of selling my novel. That's not what this is about, remember? It's not about what the good decision is for other people, it's about what it is for me. The second part of being your own biggest fan reveals why it's so important to give up on the idea that other people can tell you anything about what is the right thing to do. Because when you do believe in your own capacity to make good decisions, that is what is going to enable you to stick to your decision. That's the only thing, that belief that you've made a good decision. That's the kind of faith in yourself that you have in the creative life. And it is an incredibly difficult kind of faith to develop. And I think that this is the kind of faith that I struggled with so long that kept me from truly committing to the creative life and to my art, is that I just didn't believe in myself. I believed in my capacity. I believed in my talent, but I didn't really believe in myself and that I have what it takes, whatever that thing is, whatever it is that it takes to continue on this path, to do it. So in a way, I am talking about self-confidence, but I prefer to put this in terms of being a fan, because fans are your cheerleaders, right? And it's not about whether or not they have confidence in you, although that might be part of it. It's that they like you, they like your work. And that is the key to continuing to do your work, is that you have to like it. You have to like what you're doing. The choices you make that are good choices are the ones that you like. You like, not you decide to like because other people like them, or you think other people might like them or approve. I want to touch on another challenge that can really be killer when it comes to being your own biggest fan, and that is loneliness. The creative life can feel very lonely, not only because creatives, artists often do spend quite a lot of time alone, necessary for their work, but because they often have a singular vision that's difficult to share. They probably see things a little bit differently, or experience the world a little bit differently, or a lot. And while in some ways, many creatives and artists are primed for the kind of solitude necessary to do their work through being introverted or HSPs or be more intrinsically motivated than the average person, the kind of loneliness you can feel when you are really carving out your own space in the world through your work can be very intense. And as much as we reach out through our work, through finding other people who are doing similar work, writers' communities or whatnot, ultimately we're all kind of going our own way. And because creatives and artists are usually pretty sensitive types, they recognize that and may even have existential feelings around their lives and their work. So as much as we tend to think that the difficulty of being our own biggest fan is whether or not we can muster the self-confidence, that belief in ourselves that is required, belief in the face of the doubts of others even, or belief in the face of, usually it's more like non-responses or just no signs at all that you're on the right path or not. Really, I think that the true challenge is that feeling of aloneness that can come and our inability to face it, because it is scary. It is like a yawning black hole of non-existence. The question of whether or not being a witness of yourself is valid. Do we really exist if no one else sees us, truly sees us? And this can be the feeling of a creative or artist struggling with their own vision that they're seeking to bring forth into the world. To this, I can only say that I don't think there is a way to solve this, that it's the contemplation of this and the acceptance of it as a part of bringing your art into the world that allows you to give birth to something extraordinary, whether or not the rest of the world agrees. But it will be extraordinary because you have contemplated that void. You have allowed it. You haven't run in fear. Recently, I watched the movie Interstellar. You all know that I'm not actually a fan of movies. I often find them unwatchable because of my high sensitivity. But this one was pretty watchable for me because it didn't contain gratuitous conflict, by which I mean that they didn't feel the need to make every scene contain some kind of like drama, you know? Some scenes were just people talking together and cooperating over science, not arguing pointlessly. This is such a pet peeve of mine. There was another space drama. This is just an aside, but I have to say it now that it's on my mind. Who was the actress in it? It was Hilary Swank. I think it might have involved a mission to Mars. Not totally sure. I couldn't watch past the first episode because I'm like, none of these people on the spaceship would have passed the psychological exam. They're way too reactive, way too conflict prone. And I don't want to watch that kind of stuff. Look, I get it that like most people seem to like drama like that, but I can't. It's painful for me. Anyway, Interstellar was about the right amount. There was some major drama kind of later on, but most of the movie was really quiet and beautiful. And I love movies that aren't afraid to be silent and not have music in the background to kind of artificially make you feel things. A lot of the later Harry Potter films are like this as well, including the new ones about Dumbledore and Grindelwald. Forget the director's name, but he, like Christopher Nolan, is not afraid of space, silence. At the end of Interstellar, the main character enters a black hole. Talk about not being afraid of the void, of empty space, and of the unknown, and the uncertainties and ambiguities that it can contain. That is exactly the space that we as artists and creatives must contemplate, must enter. And we have to do it alone. Even for those of us who are collaborators in our art, we have to go into that space, the center of our own being. We have to do that alone. And that is not something that we do once and then have it done with. It's something that we repeat over and over as we continue to do our work. And when we enter that space, it's just us there, just us. And here's the interesting thing about the end of Interstellar. Spoilers ahead for those of you who haven't watched it. The whole movie, there's this feeling that some beings have been trying to help humanity save itself. It's end times on planet Earth. There's a sort of global dust bowl phenomenon going on. And a wormhole is discovered, I believe, near Jupiter that humans believe someone else placed there or made available to them to give them a leg up on saving themselves. So they go through and they're trying to find other habitable worlds. And at the end of the movie, when the main character goes into the black hole, he still believes that all of his experiences have been orchestrated somehow by these greater beings. And the discovery that he makes at the end is that those greater beings are none other than humans themselves who have figured out a way to act beyond the confines of the four dimensions, which include time. He realizes essentially what I'm telling you here, that he is the one who has to save himself and, by extension, all of humanity, that no one else can do it. It's a beautiful metaphor, in my opinion, of the creative process of bringing something into the world that I think can be extended to all of life, but particularly the creative life. Imagine the kind of faith in the self that is needed in such a circumstance. That's why you have to be your own biggest fan. It doesn't mean you're arrogant. It doesn't mean that you think you're the greatest. It doesn't mean that nobody else likes you, so you got to do it yourself. It's because it's what's required for you to do your work, for you to tap into your potential. And when you understand that and accept that, there's a kind of peace that comes. It's still hard, still can hurt, but you'll have that peace and understanding, the release of acceptance. And I've heard tell that that's when the magic happens. So I'm waiting on that. I'm waiting on that magic. How about you? Those are my thoughts on being your own biggest fan, what it means, what it looks like. Thank you for listening and spending this time with me. Please spread the word about my podcast if you know people you think may find value in it, need to hear what I have to say. And I will see you next Friday.